Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Faith. Grow me, Lord, so that I can see those things come to pass. But you look around at the circumstances and you go, you can't look. Just got to go. Got to go with God. Church, we have exceedingly great promises yet to be received by the body of Christ. The harvest of souls, abundant provision beyond our wildest dreams or imagination. We are pregnant with the promise that is coming our way in an amazing way by faith. We have a vast heritage of people who have gone before us on the Central Coast and worldwide who prayed with tears, believed in hope, earnestly sought God to see the coming harvest. But the appointed time was not then. Because it was for now. It is for this generation to see. Are you ready, church? To see the unsaved, unchurched people coming to Christ in their tens of thousands, hundreds of millions globally. We'll enter his courts with praise and you'll have a smile on your face from ear to ear. I'm paraphrasing, but that is actually a prophetic word out of the book of Isaiah. My first scripture this morning may seem to start in a strange place, but bear with me. We'll tie it up at the end. As God unfolds the message this morning, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy and chapter 4. I really felt this morning that it was important to, before I get into the main part of the message, but was to activate some things. Can I have my wonderful assistant, please? I have a picture. He'll prepare for us. Okay, 1 Timothy 4 and... verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, and he says to Timothy, that can't be, that's because I'm in 2 Timothy. I saw Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Yeah, that wasn't the scripture. Go back to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. It's funny, isn't it? Okay. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. I want you to capture that word and underline it in your Bible. By prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. I want to talk to you about activation this morning. Most of us sit as a lamp not turned on. Many of the body of Christ sits unutilized, unused by God from Sunday to Sunday. They come in on church on Sunday. They do a few things. They might sing some songs. They do something. But from Sunday to Sunday, they're pretty much just living their lives. But that's not what God wants. God wants our lives surrendered to him. And so most of us are like one of these lamps that just sit there, but it's not turned on. I need to move it over this way a bit more. Okay, how's that? And so the Spirit of God comes... often through a prophetic voice. We're unactivated. A prophetic voice comes and it lays hands on us and the light comes on. And the light comes on. And then we learn about that gift or that ability that God has given us. And then God breathes upon it. Thanks, Shane. That's great. And God's light's often too bright for us. Yeah, thanks, mate. I just want to show that little picture that it's not just about you and your light. It's about what God breathes upon that really makes the difference. And when God breathes upon something, it becomes alive. And it becomes alive through the infilling of God's Holy Spirit. Simple as that. We don't see it. We often don't feel it. Sometimes you'll hear it. But that's where it comes from. Infilling of His Spirit. And often our true gifts are activated through a prophetic word. Who here has had a prophetic word? All of us. You know, and it's just an amazing thing that these prophetic words, I write all of mine down, so I have a list of all of the prophetic words I can remember, and also I have some on tape that I listen to on a regular basis. And some of them are hilarious. They really are. We had a fellow came to our church back in 2000. So that's how long ago that was. 2000. And he spoke like this. Oh, great authority. I see over you, great authority. Now, I only remember it because of the way he spoke. And he says, I see a sword going down your throat. It is the word of God. He spoke like this. But he said some amazing things that were hard to swallow at the time. And even now when I reread them, I go, that's a big ask, God. That's a big ask. Not that I'm not willing. I'm more than willing. But, wow. Lord God, how would you do that? How could that come to pass in my life? How could I see that for the church manifest through me? And if any of you have had any words over you that are significant, you'll know that feeling. You'll know that feeling when the angel showed up to Gideon and said, "O mighty man of valor." He looks behind him thinking it was someone else. What do you mean? It's only me. I've been terrified all night. I've been in the wine press. I've just gotten out of the wine press. And the angel appears before him and says, "Mighty man of valor." He said, no, not me. I am the least in my house. My tribe is the least of that house, and we're the least of the tribes. And as God always does, He ignores our complaint and says, "Go in the strength that you have." That's it. Go in the strength that you have. That's just an amazing word in itself. And He goes and He delivers Israel. We know the story out of Judges 6, I think it is. Judges 6. But just an amazing thing that God can take people like you and I, infuse us with the prophetic voice, infuse something in our lives. And if it's true, you will hear the word over and over and over, and it will come back in different ways, in different streams, in different places. You'll hear it from people that you'll think, "Okay, God, I get it. I get it. I get it. It's going to happen. We just need to see it. Let's see it happen." Amen? I want to see it activated. I want to see these things activated in the church. I want to see these things activated in the body of Christ. Whenever God gives you a prophetic word, he'll always put in the garden with you two trees. Always. You'll always have two trees. Doesn't matter what blessing comes your way and what success you see, he'll plant another two trees. You can either believe his word or you can not believe his word. And sometimes the voice that comes that sort of makes you not believe the word is subtle. And it seems to make sense. See, the enemy knew that he couldn't just take the authority off Adam and Eve. He couldn't do it. They were given the authority. He couldn't steal it. He couldn't take it by force. He had to be sneaky. So what he did, he came into the garden, we all know the story, and he plants a seed of doubt. He sows a seed. Impregnates them with a seed of doubt. You know, yes, God said not to eat from any of the trees, but did he really say you couldn't eat of that tree? Yes, that's exactly what he said. Don't eat of the tree. End of story. In fact, Eve responds well. She responds right. God had said, you shall not eat of any of the trees. She responds well. But the seed was planted. And that seed grew, germinated inside of her until she believed the lie. So any lies that you believe in your life, including my life, don't happen overnight. You normally hear the lie, you'll ignore it initially, you'll ignore it, you'll ignore it, you'll ignore it, you'll ignore it, and then all of it sort of, maybe. It's subtle. That's how the enemy traps us. Things like this. You had a prophetic word that you'll be a pastor of 1,000 people. Well, maybe I have pastored 1,000 people in 20 years. I probably have. Yeah? The lie. Little subtlety in the lie. When he says things like, you'll see greater miracles than these through your ministry. Yeah? Jesus said, these things will happen greater. I've had that prophetic word 4 times. Diane's had a prophetic word that she would have a ministry like Catherine Kuhlman for ministry, for healing. Yeah? We're still waiting. So the little lies come in and they beguile us. And you think, oh, it's been 20 years, Lord. Been 20 years. Then you read about Abraham and Sarah waiting until they were 100 to have their child of promise. We've got to get pregnant with our promises, church. We've got to kick out the lies and get pregnant with the promises that God has given to us as a body, as individuals, corporately, and as the body of Christ. We've got to see those things germinate, those things come to pass, because God tells the truth. He is not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. If God says it to you, it is true. You don't have to know how it's going to happen. You just need to believe it will. Amen? So don't believe the second tree. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the knowledge of things that exalt themselves over the knowledge of God. That is, the things that God says are true. The enemy doesn't say that they're not true. He just slants it a little bit. And that's all it takes to make us swallow a lie. And we can't afford to do that, church. None of us can. Who knows that we're living in the last days? So if the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 2, and Peter 1 and verse 20 says that they are living in the last days, we should be fully aware that after 2,000 years, we're in the last era of the last days. We're in the last era of the last days, church. God has left amazing promises for the last era of days. For us, the promises will be fulfilled. For us, we will see these things happen. It's going to happen, church, sure as eggs. What happens, however, is that many of the prophetic words that we read about in the last days are so big for us that we sort of skim over them in Scripture. We say things like, well, that was Jesus. But let me tell you something, church. Jesus was fully God and fully man, but he put aside his Godship to be a man upon the earth. So the things that he did as a man. If he did them as God, I could step back and applaud. Well done, God. But I could never achieve them because it was God doing them. But if he's man on the earth and he was as a man doing them, then I have no excuse but to do those exact same things. Jesus is the bar, the standard by which we believe all things. Why did I want to pray for the sick first? I want to pray for the sick first to see the power of God manifest in this place. That's why. And I'll probably start doing that. Just pray for the sick before we do anything else. I think it's just so important, church. Let the power of God fall. But we read them and they're all too hard for us. Like in Matthew 8:16, it says, he healed all, you know, can I have that? All who were sick. All. Not some. There was one place where he could only heal some. It does say that. It was in his own hometown. Maybe I need to leave the Central Coast. In his own hometown, he couldn't heal many. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we know him? Don't we know his brothers and sisters? Who is this? We can often miss our healing because we refuse to recognize the anointing on the person sitting next to us. Your brother and sister in Christ, who may have just that exact anointing you need to get the victory you've been looking for. We read in John 14:12, he who believes in me, the works that I do will do also. I've written that wrong somehow. The greater works than these he will do. Now that word there I've had four times over my life. And many of you probably have had the same. But we see the works that Jesus did and we go, he healed the blind. The deaf heard. The lame walked. The dead rose. All that were oppressed of the devil were released. I preached about 6 months ago, and I was talking about my testimony, and I made a point about Christians not being able to be possessed. And I believe that to be true. But it doesn't mean you can't have a problem with the devil. You can still be oppressed of the enemy. And so you can be thinking, man, well, what's going on here? It's just the oppression of the enemy. And we've got to get it off us. Kick it off. Tell it to go in the name of Jesus. It's got to bow. It has to bow. But these things, and greater than these, will you do. And I know, we're all thinking the same thing. I didn't raise anyone from the dead last week. I didn't see any blind healed. I didn't see any blind eyes healed. I've only seen little miracles, or I've seen this, or I've seen that. You know what I mean? Like, it cannot be born out of our experience, church. It must be born from faith. What does the Word of God say? It is true. End of story. It doesn't matter what the enemy says, and it doesn't matter what your brain tells you. Who's going to spit on the ground, make mud with their spittle, and stick it in some blind guy's eyes? That's real nice. Stick some mud in the blind guy's eyes. He didn't even see it coming. Who's going to do that, church? Jesus is going to do that because that's what he needed to get healed. Unusual things, unusual miracles. Expect for them. Don't expect God to answer in ways that you expect. He'll answer in ever how he chooses to answer. And that is what you should do. We all know the marriage at Canaan. They come, they run out of wine. Because, of course, Jesus didn't drink wine, did he? Anyway, we won't go there. Won't open that can of worms. But Mary says, just do as he says. So they go and get the wash basins where they've just been washing up all their hands and their feet and they're, you know, getting the camel dung out of their feet and all that stuff. And they bring the water pitchers in. Oh, I hope they cleaned them. And he turns the water into wine. Now, that's got to be an unusual miracle. Some people might say, come to my house, Jesus. You know, it's God just doesn't do things the way we do them. He doesn't think the way we think. He doesn't act the way we act. He doesn't see the circumstances the way we see them. He sees from the invisible realm to the visible. We see from the visible realm looking into the invisible. If you want something, church, don't try and get it out of the visible. It won't manifest. You got to get it out of the invisible. Reaching into heaven to the invisible realm and saying, I want, need that. There is no lack in God for what we need to do what we need to do. Whether that's miracles, signs, wonders, $1 million in my bank account, yes please. But you won't get it out of the physical world. The tax collectors come to Jesus and they say, you and your disciple, they have to pay some tax. He has a bit of a shot at them and says, well, you know, I own the town. Should I be paying tax? Yeah, I reckon you should pay tax. That's what the guy says. He says to Peter, he says, look, mate, would you mind going fishing for me? He's a fisherman. He probably knows how to catch fish. Would you mind going fishing for me, Pete? He says, when you go down to the water and throw out your line, pull in the fish, you'll find enough coin in there for both you and me. That's pretty unusual. Was the coin in the mouth before Peter threw his line out. Maybe. But he just happened to throw it out at that point and catch that fish that Jesus had spoken about. And that's how God works. If he had have said, well, Lord, I don't feel like fishing today. I think we might go down and get some fish and chips elsewhere. There's some nice fish and chips down there at Terrigal. We might go down there today, get some fish and chips. No, he did what he was told to do and he saw the fulfillment. I don't know about you, but that would get my attention. I mean, if I had have caught a fish, that would have got my attention. I'm not like Arthur. Arthur can catch, he can catch fishes everywhere. Amazing. I throw a line out. I don't mind standing there chatting, but that's about all I do. But he throws out the line, he catches the fish. Man, there's a fish. There's some fish coming, church. There's some fish coming. There's a harvest coming. I want to tell you, I'm pregnant with it. I can feel it. I can sense it in my spirit. And I don't care what the natural says. And I don't care what the enemy says. I believe what God has said, and it shall come to pass. Turn with me, if you will, into the Old Testament. We're going to have a little bit of a squeeze. And I think I'm nearly out of day. I might have to make a part two for this. Man. Isaiah chapter 2, if you would. Oh, look. Stick your finger there in Isaiah 2, but also go to Isaiah 60. I can't go past it without reading it because it's just so good. What's our slogan, church? Arise, shine, for your light has come. Oh, I'm excited. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, joyful, glad. And your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Just stop there just half a sec. I believe in giving. I think it's an important aspect, and you know I do believe in it. But we'll never change the world if we just rely upon tithes and offerings. We've got to take the money from those in the world and bring it into the house of God. Just a thought. Because the wealth of the Gentiles, that is the unbelievers, those outside the covenant of God, shall come to you. And what will come? The multitudes of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephraim, and then Sheba shall come. Those from Sheba shall come. Egypt. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Why is God doing this? Why is he going to do that? Why is finances going to come into the house of God? Because we've got work to do, church. Did you know that there is only enough beds on the Central Coast to house one in every three homeless people? I don't know about you, church, but that makes me cranky. That's just wrong. It's just wrong. There's homeless people out on the street who haven't got enough to eat. That's wrong, church. It's just wrong. Should never be in a country like ours. There should be no homeless. And then people make excuses, oh, well, you know, it's because of this or that or mental illness or the next. Stop it. It's wrong. The reason it's happening is that the people who are most likely to be able to help can't. They just don't have the wherewithal to do much. For most of us, we're trying to make ends meet ourselves. Most of us would agree. We need a change. We need something to change. We need something to change, church. Got to pull it in from out there, bring it in here so that we can distribute it. What does it say of the new church? They had the beginning church. They had all things in common and nobody had need. No one. No one had a need in the church. Why? Because if they were sick, they got healed. If they needed finances, there was money to give them. Man, things have got to change. I believe for that. I can't see how, but I don't have to see how. I just got to believe. I got to trust God. Man, that's good. All right, turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 2. I am looking for three people who are entrepreneurs, who are kingdom-minded, and who would love to work for the church. I have a job for them. You know, it's so funny. We've started doing our Facebook and welcome for our Facebook people, but, you know, we've started getting scammers already on our Facebook. It's just hilarious. Like, you know, it really gets me a bit because it's like, let's try and scam the people who are willing to do good. You know what I mean? We'll use their goodness against them. That makes me angry too, that there are people out there who are willing to line their own pockets to rob the church. And that's what they are. They're thieves and they're robbers. And, you know, anyway, it just gets me. So I had four of those this week, four of them. One guy must have sent 40 emails, one after the other, trying to con us into giving him some money. I'm sorry, guys, it's never going to happen. Never. We will not be robbed. We will not be stolen from. We will work with wisdom. We will listen to God. We will find the things that we are supposed to do as a church and we will do them. But we'll do them with some common sense. We will cross our T's and dot our I's and make sure that the people that we do give to will distribute correctly. We'll use some wisdom. Amen. Man. Turn with me, okay, to Isaiah chapter 2. And I'm going to finish here. And the other four messages will have to be later. You know, sometimes God just fills you with something in your spirit that you just, there's so much of it. There's so much. In fact, earlier in the week, I was saying to God, if you keep giving it, it's going to end up being a 15-part series or something, you know, like. But, yeah. So Isaiah 2, and it says this, 2 and 2 to 4. Now it shall come to pass in the laster of days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. Every time the mountains are described in Scripture, church, he's talking about government. He's talking about authority, government. So in the laster of the days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house, his government, shall be established on the top of all the mountains. Every other government shall come under the rule of Jesus Christ. End of story. and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations. I want to read, just read this with me. Say it with me. And all the nations shall flow to it. Come on. And all the nations shall flow to it. We read that and we go, all the nations? Yes, all the nations. All the nations will flow to it. All the nations. Not some of them. Not just Westerners. Not just Asians. Not just the whole planet. Everyone. Oh, but surely God can't deal with those people in North Korea. Why not? Pray for him. Pray. Pray and pray and pray. Pray for the leaders of nations that they get saved. That they find Jesus. That Jesus manifests himself to them. The world would change overnight, church. It would change overnight. If these corrupt leaders would find Christ, the world will change. Because everything starts from the top, flows down. All the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. I'd like to put that to you, church, that that is the body of Christ. That mandate is for us. We are called to bring every enemy, destroy every work of the enemy upon the earth. We are to heal the sick, raise the dead, deliver the afflicted from the enemy. We are to cast out devils and demons. That's our job. To pull down every stronghold, every thought that raises itself above the knowledge of God. I'm hungry, church, to see a revival. I want to see it start here on the Central Coast. I want to see the Central Coast so on fire, and I've prayed for it for years and years and years, and I will see it happen. This morning, I want to activate specific. Did I not take up the giving? I'm sorry about that. Can we take up the giving? This wasn't my giving. Okay, so now I've finished the giving message. My apologies. My apologies. Money's needful. I just don't care about it. It is. It's really important. And don't get me wrong, we do really need it. And sorry, Faye, it's... just not important. And our Facebook friends, if you'd like to give and donate, we would appreciate that. There's a donations page at the top. We'd ask that you would donate to this work. In Jesus' name, bless you for that. But I really want to activate this morning the evangelists. God spoke to me this week and he said, I want you to activate the evangelists. And we are all called to be a witness. We are all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel, all of us. But there are some people who just have the call of the evangelist on their heart. And they're the kind of people that, whether they have a rod or they've got a net, they're going to catch some fish. And you know the evangelist because they've got a trail of people following behind that they're throwing in the door because they want to go out and catch some more fish. So this morning, if you're an evangelist in this place, you got a sense on your spirit right now that you're called to evangelize. You're called to be an evangelist. I want you to come out this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. Because I want to activate, I want to turn on the light, I want to activate the evangelist. And what happens with evangelists is they tend to go and they start something. They birth something. They start a hunger in people for the things of God. They might pray for the sick and the sick get healed, but that's not their aim, that's not their goal. That's like the cream. Their goal is to see salvations. Their goal is to see people one to Jesus. Their goal is to build the kingdom of God. That's the evangelist. And I just sense it globally. There are tens of thousands of people who once considered themselves to be an evangelist and now no longer do, for whatever reason. But I want to call that army. I want to call it in the prophetic this morning. I want to speak over it prophetically that it will stand and arise and shine, for its light has come. It's time for the evangelists to arise and shine. It's time that they would stand up and do what they were called to do. Save souls. Be fishers of men. Jesus said to Peter, throw your net out on that side. And when he threw the net out and he started pulling in the net, his boat started to sink. So he calls his friend, Anthony. And he says, Anthony, come over here. Andrew. Anthony, come over here. And Anthony started pulling in fish too. And his boat started to sink. That's a picture of the harvest that's coming of souls. A harvest like we've never seen before, church. So I want to pray for the evangelists this morning. So come over, come in the front here, guys. And if you're on Facebook and you're an evangelist, put your hand out to the screen. I'll pray for you in a moment. But there's just something about the evangelists. They go forward. They're trailblazers. The evangelists are trailblazers. They set a fire in a place and they just leave a fire behind them. I read this scripture out of Isaiah 6 this morning that God shall send a firebrand. And everyone knows what a firebrand is. You get a couple of twigs and sticks and you set them on fire and you run through the bush. You set it on fire. That's what these guys are destined to do. Set a fire on the Central Coast that starts here. Put your hands out towards the people, these guys, church. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God. You'd anoint Peter to evangelize, Lord God, in every realm of his being. In every part of his life, Lord, may the evangelist arise and shine, Lord God. The anointing back upon you, Pete, to evangelize, to see people change for Jesus. Joey, we just pray for the evangelist for youth. Lord, that youth would come, not in their tens, but in their hundreds, and they'd swell into thousands. And we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would stand, you'd stand as a giant among men, but you'd stand also able to carry the load, to carry the weight. Remember that Jesus says, put my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. My burden is light. And I pray for the lightness of the burden, that you would have a burden for the youth, but it wouldn't be a burden that weighs you down. It'd be a burden that fires you up. and gets you moving and starts to see the youth ignited in this church. We call them in. We call them in from the north, the south, the east and the west. We call them in to be the prophetic voice of this generation, that they would call to their brothers and sisters and say, come. Come and see that the Lord is good. Come and see the power of God is manifest. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for Rick. Father, that you just anoint him with the spirit of evangelism. That in every sphere of influence that he has, oh Lord God, he would be plucking this one out, plucking that one out, that he would be going to this one and to that one. And I can see you reaching down to the needy and like grabbing them by the hand and pulling them up and say, can I help you up? Can I help you up? And they're saying, why would you help me? And you're saying, man, Jesus has helped me. Jesus has helped me. You know, and I'd sense that calling in your soul, in your spirit, to go to the lost and the needy and those who have a great need in their lives and in their soul and who are broken. I can see you going to the broken and the destitute of heart and those who are just completely lost. And I can see you calling to them, come, 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 come and see that the Lord is good. Come and see that the Lord is good. Come. Holy Spirit, activate. 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 VB, we just pray, Lord God, as VB is called to the nations, Lord God, not just to this nation. But it's not just nations as in geographies. It's in peoples. So it's not just geographical locations. It's like God might send you to Asian-like people. God might send you to African people. God might send you to, you know what I'm saying? It's not about geography. It's about the people. God loves all people, everyone, everywhere. He'll send you to Chinese people, to Japanese people. He'll send you to Korean people. He'll send you to Asian, other Asian nations. He'll send you to Indian people. It's something of the nations is in you. Something of the nations. You've got a hunger for the nations. You've got a hunger to see every nationality won for Jesus. And it's almost like there's a flag in your mind for each nation. Yep, that nation needs to be won to Jesus. And you don't just go by word alone, but you go by in the power of the gospel of Jesus. You go in the power of that power that goes with you. And when you lay hands on the sick and they recover, and then they say, how did that happen? Well, Jesus did this. Demonstrate the power first and then speak with words if you have to. But people will understand by the power. They'll understand by the power. If you heal the sick and raise the dead, I tell you, they're going to ask a question. They're going to ask the question, how is that so? It is by the name of Jesus. It is by the Holy Child of Jesus. Unto us a child is born, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us, God with us, and God is with me, and God is in me, and I am in him. And I lay hands on this person, and they are healed. And I lay hands on these eyes, and they are restored. I lay hands on the ears, and they're healed. I lay hands, and I curse cancer, and it withers and shrivels up. And I curse any knees or problems in the knees. You'll just curse it, and it'll just all come good. The ankles and bones and every other part of the body. By faith. By faith. By faith. Megan, you're called to be a generational mover for relationships. You know, not everything goes to plan. Not everything goes to plan. But you know what? God brings good out of stuff. And God wants to use what you've learned and what you're learning to set people free. To set people free. Set them free. Sometimes freedom comes in unusual ways, but freedom comes. And God wants you to go and set the people free. Set them free. Be the hand that lifts them up. Be the arm that goes around them and encourages them and says, you can do it. You can survive. You can move on. You can be empowered. I see you laying hands on the sick and I see them healed. Again, that same spirit. It's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus will heal the sick. And then they'll ask the question, how did that even happen? That happened because Jesus saves. Jesus is interested in you. Jesus was interested in me. Just do what God says. Not all of it will make sense. Not all of it does always make sense. But God ultimately makes sense. He brings clarity to confusion. He brings stability to things that are unstable. He brings strength to things that are weak. And you say within yourself, but I'm weak, I'm not strong. And God says, go in your weakness, because in my weakness, in your weakness, I am strong. In your weakness, I am strong. Just believe, and they will see. Just believe, and they will be healed. Just believe, and they will be restored. Just believe, and you'll join back relationships. Just believe, and youth will come. Youth will come to you as well. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Set a fire in a belly, Lord God, that cannot be quenched. Set a fire in his belly that cannot be quenched. Set a fire in his belly that cannot be quenched. Set a fire in his belly that cannot be quenched. This is our time, church. This is our time to arise and shine. I send the evangelist out into the streets and into the byways, into houses and homes. I send you out to the supermarket and to the marketplace to call the lost, to call them, to call them by the name of Jesus, to call them in, not in their 10s or their 20s, but in their 50s and their 100s. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Can I just pray for a couple of people? If you have to go, we release you to go. But I just believe God's moving here this morning. Sue, would you come this morning?
And I'll just pray. I'll just quickly pray for our Facebook people.
We've turned off Facebook.
Oh, you've turned it off? Oh, turned it off.
Jennifer, would you come this morning? And Linda, would you come this morning? You just stand here. We're just stand here, guys. I just want to pray for all of you this morning. God just said, pray for these guys. So that's what we're going to do. You know, you may not have come out for the call for the evangelist, but God, you're on God's heart this morning. So, Father, we thank you this morning for Sue. Lord God, you know, God uses you to bridge the gap. You are a bridge gap person. You stand in the gap for people. It's like you take the bandage and you bandage up people's wounds, and you bring healing to them. God uses you to bring healing to people. You bind up their wounds, you help them to set them to go again. And Father, I thank you this morning. I just continue to release whatever you're doing through Sue now, Father God. It's like God's given you extra arms, extra arms to go out and care for people and hug people and bind up their wounds. So we just release the gifts that you need from God to do what you're called to do. Lord God, right now, bring such a sense of assurance and godly confidence, and continue to give Sue the right words to say and the right people to go to as you put them on her heart one by one. Father, we thank you for Sue. We thank you. She's such a blessing. We thank you for her, Jesus, and for Linda this morning, Lord God. We thank you for Linda.
Yes.
Lord God, Jesus. You know, you've walked a hard road and a long road, but it's not for nothing. And so I just sense God wanting to bring that to your remembrance in a strong way. It's not for nothing, and it's time to use it. It's time to use it. It's time to extend beyond yourself to others. For this coming year, I pray that God would release what needs to be released from you to bless others. That I pray that, you know, there would be no sense of fear there. There would be no sense of being bound up, not being able to move, but there would be a real freedom in you given by God to do what you're called to do, because you have a purpose just as much as anybody else, and you belong to God just as much as anybody else, and you've been called just as much as anybody else. And it's like, you know, it's like you need to hear those words. You need to hold on to those words. You need to see beyond yourself to see what God sees in you. Father, right now we release your goodness through Linda right now. We release to the mind right now your goodness, your freedom, your healing, your power right now in Jesus' name. You know, a person of purpose. You're called to be a person of purpose. Thank you, Jesus. And for Jennifer this morning, Lord God, we thank you, Father.
Before you go,
Yale tibia shunot bara tibia mane de kine de ba ba ba. I so sense, you know, that you go places that no others would go. Father, right now, we pray for protection over Jennifer.
Yes.
Lord God, and you know, in the boldness that God has given you, protection and wisdom and leading to go those places that nobody else would go. I thank you that you respond to the Father and his call. I thank you that God is moving through you in a powerful way and will continue to do it. I thank you that next year is your year in God.
Yes.
It's your year.
Yes.
It's your year. It's not a year of going back. It's not a year of turning left to right. It's not a year of being stationary, but it's a year of moving forward in everything that God's got for you. A forward motion, we declare right now over you. A forward motion in every area, a forward motion in your family, a forward motion in those that you minister to, even those that you minister to. I see God taking them to a new place,
yep.
Not a place that, you know, they just get ministered to and they don't do anything, but a place where they stand up when they arise and move forward themselves. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you are the restorer, the ultimate restorer. I thank you that you're restoring lives even through using Jennifer as the God with skin on, the person with skin on.
Yes.
You know, you, God is moving through you to be a restorer of lives. Thank you, Father, for Jennifer right now. Bless her in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Release the fire, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And just one other person here today. Can I pray for you, Tash? Would that be okay? Faye will come out with you. That'd be great. If you'll just allow me to pray for you, is that okay? Yeah. Father, I thank you for Tash this morning, Lord God. I thank you that you love her deeply. I thank you, Lord God, that you've got good things ahead for her. I thank you that you see her as somebody special and somebody so valuable, Lord God. You know, Tash, I just sense that God just wants to love on you and love through you and just to assure you that things are okay. I so sense that God is coming and he's going to be your God for you. He's going to be your strength for you. And Father, Lord God, as Tash goes and takes steps into her future, Lord God, that you would lead her and guide her and help her and strengthen her. And, you know, God's got a place for you. He's got a place for you. He's gone before you. He's got a place for you. I thank you for Tash right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Well, thank you, church. What an awesome day. God is good all the time. So release you. God bless you. Have an awesome week. RSVP for Christmas, and go and heal the sick, raise the dead.
You do. shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men come to me and use their tongues against me, when enemies attack me, they will stumble and fall. One thing I will come to ask of God the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may live within the Lord's own house all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty, to seek him in his temple. He'll hide me in his shelter, and he'll lift me up high, that I will be raised above my enemies who are all around. I'll go to his place and make a sacrifice with a shout of joy. I'll sing and bring him music. I'll sing and bring him music. I'll sing and bring him music as I sing to the Lord.
Sing to the Lord.
He is my light, my salvation.
Sing to the Lord.
He is my light, my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men come to me and use their tongues against me, when enemies attack me, they will stumble and fall. Then I will be raised above my enemies who are all around. I'll go to his place and make a sacrifice with a shout of joy. I'll sing and bring him music. I'll sing and bring him music. I'll sing and bring him music as I sing to the Lord.
Sing to the Lord.
He is my light, my salvation.
Sing to the Lord.
He is my light and my salvation. Sing to the Lord.
Sing to him.
Sing to the Lord.
Sing to him.
Sing to the Lord.
Sing to him.
He's the light of my salvation. So walk around, consider So have we seen in the city of the Lord Almighty. The city of God is made secure. He makes it safe forever. So walk around, consider her well, so you may tell the children to come. This is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide to So have we seen in the city of the Lord Almighty. The city of God is made secure. He makes it safe forever. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord Almighty. The city of God is made secure. He makes it safe forever. He makes it safe forever. Tell the children, tell them about the Lord. Tell the children, tell all the children. Redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live and never see decay. For all can see that wise men perish, and fools will die, leaving riches behind. Their tombs will forever be their houses, though they had named lands for themselves. Man, despite his wealth, will not endure. This is the fate of all who trust themselves and of their followers who approve what they say. But God the Lord, He will redeem my soul. He will uplift me from the grave, and He will surely take me to Himself. Redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. But God the Lord, He will redeem my soul. He will uplift me from the grave, and He will surely take me to Himself. Thank you. steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Lord, save me from all guilt, and I will sing of all your righteousness. Open my lips, O my Lord, and I will declare your praise. My mouth will sing it. Burnt offerings and sacrifice are not your delight, or surely I would bring it. A broken spirit is a sacrifice, a broken and a contrite heart, Lord, you would not despise. No, you would not despise. Open my lips, O my Lord, and I will declare your praise. My mouth will sing it. Burnt offerings and sacrifice are not your delight, or surely I would bring it. A broken spirit is a sacrifice, a broken and a contrite heart, Lord, you would not despise. No, you would not despise.
Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long? You are a disgrace in the eyes of God. Your tongue plots destruction like a razor so sharp. You who practice deceit, you love evil rather than good. And you love falsehood rather than truth. And you love every harmful word, O deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you to everlasting ruin. He'll snatch you up and tear you from your tent, and he will uproot you from the living land. The righteous see and fear, and laugh at him and say, here's the man who did not trust in God, but trusted in his wealth and gain, destroying others. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever and ever. I praise you forever for what you have done. I will praise you, I will praise.
Hear the song of celebration. Song of celebration. Music to the King. Praise His name, sing His word. On His holy mountain, glorious things are said of You, O city of our God. Many lands will acknowledge her, the Most High will establish her. The Lord will write in the register, as one was born in Zion. As they make music, they will sing. City of our God, city of our God. Many lands will acknowledge her, Most High will establish her. The Lord will write in the register, this one was born in Zion. As they make music, music, they will sing.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.